Panic?
No.
Our reading today comes from John's Gospel, chapter 21. And we're reading from verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Amen.
So during the week, I was up in Belfast for some training, 3 days training, which was really good. And I learned lots of things. You'll see such a development over the next few weeks. I know what you're thinking. But it was good. But before I came down on Friday, like I often do, I met with Debs for breakfast. We went out for breakfast. We've got in this little routine, and she and I go out for breakfast, just the two of us. It's lovely. We go around there, and we chat, and we eat pancakes and bacon and maple syrup and hash browns and fried eggs. It's lovely. But the best bit, of course, is just being with her and talking. That's the best bit of all. And you can talk about things that don't normally come out in a conversation, or you can ask her specific questions, or it just gives a space to talk. And the story that we've got today comes out of a breakfast. Remember, we thought last week this is one of the resurrection appearances of Jesus, and remember he appeared on the beach, and they were out fishing, some of the disciples were out fishing, and he says to them, "Have you caught anything?" They hadn't caught anything, and he says, "Put your net on the right side of the boat." And they did, and the net was full, 153 fish. But as they came to shore, and as Peter ran to shore, swam to shore, Jesus had a fire burning and fish cooking, fish and bread. And he says, "Come and have breakfast." And no doubt they had a great conversation among themselves, but as the breakfast came to an end, Jesus singled out Peter. Peter, of course, was the leader of the group. He was the impetuous one, the bold one, the natural leader. But the brave one, the courageous one, was now the vulnerable one, the one who had strayed very far. In this text, he doesn't even use the name Peter, although that's who it is. You remember that was that Jesus gave Peter his name. He was called Simon. And that's what Jesus calls him, Simon, son of John. But Jesus gave him the name Peter at the very beginning when he called him to be his disciple. And he said, "I'm going to call you Peter," or Cephas, which means the rock. That's a great name, isn't it? The rock. I'm going to call you the rock. But during this episode, during this story, Jesus doesn't call him Peter because he's not acting like a Peter. He's not acting like a rock. And it's as though Jesus has taken them back to the very beginning of the story. And Jesus asked them a very important question. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Simon, son of John, do you love me? Now, Jesus wasn't asking a question for information. Remember last week when we thought about those disciples fishing and Jesus asked them a question saying, haven't you caught anything? It's not that he needed to get an answer. He knew the answer. They hadn't caught anything. And so it is with this question as well. Jesus asked the question not for information, but to give Peter an opportunity to examine his life and to examine his heart. Peter, do you love me? In 1 Corinthians, Paul writes this, when we take our communion, the idea of self-examination is a good thing. I mean, you hear about that in health checks and so on. Examining yourself is a really good thing. And so it is spiritually to examine yourself. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians, everyone ought to examine themselves. Everyone, before they eat the bread and drink the wine. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. So it's good to examine your life, to examine your heart. And that's what this question gave to Peter, the opportunity to do that. Peter, do you love me? Now, we know that Peter had denied Jesus 3 times. That was a very serious sin. It just took one little girl by a fire to say, do you know Jesus? For him to swear 3 times that he didn't. But a question from a little girl that completely floored him, and now a question from Jesus that would restore him. For that was the purpose of this episode. To bring him back. To give him confidence again. To make him the rock who is Peter. So if Jesus were to ask you today, not Peter in a story a long time ago, but if Jesus were here and were to ask you, do you love me? What would you say? He doesn't ask, do you have faith in me? He doesn't ask, do you worship me? He doesn't ask, do you fear me? But he's to ask, do you love me? What would you say? God is a God of love. And we know that according to Jesus, the 2 greatest commandments are to love the Lord your God with everything you are. Love him with your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength. Everything we are, to love him in that way. That's what Jesus said is the greatest commandment. To love the Lord your God with your everything. And the second one is like it. To love your neighbor, to love others like you love yourself. So love is the greatest quality of all. Indeed, everything else without love is meaningless. So Jesus asked Peter to examine his life. And if you were to examine your life and even think over the last week, what would your life say about loving Jesus? Did you lose it with the children? Did you speak harshly to your spouse? And Jesus says, do you love me? Have you been kind to your neighbors or your colleagues? Or have you been unkind and difficult and selfish? And Jesus says, do you love me? Have you spent more time watching TV than you have reading his word? Have you spent more time talking to others rather than talking to him, and you've no time to do that? And Jesus says, do you love me? as you reflect on your life, as you reflect on your week. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Now, what does that mean? Do you love me more than these? Could mean several things. It could mean, do you love me more than this way of life, your fish, your boats, your nets? Do you love me more than this equipment? Do you love me more than this business that you have? Because he was a businessman. He was a fisherman. They were a family business. Peter, do you love me more than these? Your old way of life? I remember we thought last week about looking back, the dangers of looking back, like the people coming out of Egypt, looking back. It's always a dangerous thing. Jesus could be saying, Peter, do you love me more than all of this? But probably what he meant was, do you love me more than these disciples do? These other disciples do? That seems to be the consensus among commentators. He's giving Peter an opportunity to compare himself to others. Now, comparison's really a childish game, isn't it? Oh, I've got more toys than you. I can run faster than you. My hair's longer than yours. My daddy's bigger than yours. But we don't leave those childish ways behind, do we, when we get older? Oh, I've got more qualifications than you. I've got a better job than you. I've got a better salary than you. I live in a better house than you. I drive a faster car than you. I go on more holidays than you. We might not articulate those out loud, but often we can be comparing ourselves even in our head. Or, I'm not as bad as you. I'm a better person than you. I do better things than you. Jesus was giving Peter an opportunity to compare himself to the others. Is that a funny thing to do? Well, no, not really, because that's what Peter had done before. Just before Jesus died, Peter said, even if all fall away on account of you, even if they all give up on you, I never will. I will lay my life down for you. That's what Peter said to Jesus. See these other disciples? If they all run away, I will never leave you. I will never desert you. I'm better, stronger, and more committed to this cause than any of them. But that boast didn't end well, did it? But Peter was used to comparing himself to others. But this time, Peter is a little more circumspect. He refuses to answer that question in that way. He wouldn't fall into the trap of that comparison game. He wouldn't claim to be better than anyone else. He would simply state it as he saw it. Lord, you know that I love you. Nor did he try to justify his love. He could have said, as he had said once before, Lord, I've left everything to follow you. He could have said, I've preached for you. I've done all sorts of things for you. Of course, I love you. And we can do exactly the same kind of things as well, can't we? Do I love you? Well, I come to church every Sunday. I give generously to your work. I'm nice to my kids. I'm nice to my neighbors. I'm a very generous person. I'm an elder. Of course, I love you. I'm committed to the cause. I teach Sunday school. I clean the church. I play the music. But Peter didn't try to justify anything. Because sometimes we may think that we love Jesus simply because of the things that we do. Even the very holy things that we do. I pray, of course I love you. I read the Bible, of course I love you. But you can pray and not love Jesus. You can study the Bible and not love Jesus. You can do all manner of things and not love Jesus. Didn't Paul write in 1 Corinthians, if I speak in the tongues of men or angels but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, if I give my body to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. So when Peter spoke, He was not looking. He was not looking for evidence. When Jesus asked him that question, he was not looking for evidence from Peter. He simply wanted to know a fact. Do you love me? Don't give me all that washy-washy, flurry stuff. Just tell me, do you love me? Sometimes we can fool ourselves, and we can certainly fool others, can't we? Gary must love Jesus because he's a minister. And he does lots of holy things. And the kids think he's got a Bible inside his chocolate box. But that means nothing. You don't know if I love Jesus. And we can all fool each other. We can put on an air of holiness, of righteousness, but still not love Jesus. The third time, Jesus said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus had asked him a third time, do you love me? Of course, you know why he asked three questions, don't you? It was because Peter had denied Jesus, not once, not twice, but three times. And so Jesus comes back with three questions, just to enable, giving him the opportunity to come back, to restate three times that he loved him, he loved him, he loved him. Peter said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. Peter didn't try to give evidence for his love. He was relying on the fact that God is omniscient, that he knows all things. Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus knows if I love him, if you love him, because you can't hide anything from him. You can't pretend. Can't put on a show. He knows if we truly love him. And that is the most important question of all. Do you love me? He said, feed my sheep. So not only was Peter restored, but Peter was given a task to do, a ministry to do. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Jesus said, I will make you a fisher of men. Evangelism, bringing people in, people who are dead spiritually, and giving them life in God's kingdom. But now it was to be a pastor, to feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And those children, just like I said, that promise that we made when they were baptized, we are called to feed those lambs, take care of those lambs, not put them off, not give them a bad example, but to pray for them and to love them as though they were our very own. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep. These belong to Jesus. That's what Jesus said to Peter. Feed my lambs, not your lambs, not your sheep, not your church, but feed mine. But it was an amazing role that he gave him. Feed my sheep. And Jesus gives us all a role to play. If we love Jesus, that will show itself in what we do, in all the decisions that we make. So it's important to be involved, to use the gifts that God has given you, particular gifts, to use at particular times and particular ways. We should always be looking for ways to serve, to minister, because that's a sign of our love for Jesus and our love for each other. We should never get to the point where we say, I've done my bit. I'll put my feet up. Let someone else have a go. No, there's plenty of work to be done. Plenty of work for everyone. And it's a joy to do that. It's a joy to be involved in the Lord's work, to feed his sheep, to care for his people, to love each other as he loves us. It is a joy. So as you reflect on your life, do you love Jesus? We've been working our way through John and we're kind of finished. But Jesus goes on to tell him, Peter, how he would die. Isn't that a lovely thing to say? He says, a time is coming when you'll be taken, where you don't want to go, and your arms will be outstretched. That was a picture of crucifixion, because that's what tradition tells us, that Peter himself was crucified upside down because he thought he wasn't worthy to be crucified the same way as Jesus was, probably in Rome. And he was going to live for 3 decades knowing how he would die. But that was fine, because Jesus had defeated death, and Peter would too, because he loved Jesus. And we'll all die, and that's fine if our trust is in him, because Jesus has defeated death. That's why it's so important to ask ourselves the question, do I love him? I hope you've enjoyed our work, our way through the book of John, the Gospel of John. It's written that we might believe. John finishes by saying, if I was write down everything that Jesus said, all the books of the world would be filled. In fact, the world couldn't contain it. He's done so many wonderful things. But these things are written that you might believe. And by believing, putting your faith in him, and by putting your faith in him, have life everlasting. Do you love him?